Good morning, everybody. Pastor Mike here with another Watchman Pure Bible Study, Revelation chapter 11. Boy, it's been a while since we did one of these. I went on vacation, and we had done the whole Another Jesus, Another Gospel, Another Spirit series. And man, I tell you what, I was wiped out. So we went on vacation, took off for a while, and I came back, and then I got sick. And I found out that I have diabetes, and so I'm relearning my life now. And it's fun, it's enjoyable, it really is. But anyway, now for the first time in a while, I'm ready to get back into the Word of God, ready to study it along with you. And I'm going to admit to you, there are things as we move forward from this point in the Book of Revelation, there are things that I have an uncertainty on. I'm not sure about. And rather than me going to read what's all somebody's books and all Dr. So-and-so said this and whoever, I would just like to know it from the Word of God. That way I trust it. I know for a fact that what I'm seeing is the truth. People are asking me about, who do you think the two witnesses are? Is it Elijah and Enoch, or is it Moses and Elijah? Well, maybe it's not either one of them. Maybe it's like Jim and Larry. You know, I don't know. The thing is, it's not giving us here a name for either one of them, except maybe one and two, because let's read it. Revelation 11, verse 1, we're going to read through verse 4. There was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, "Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple leave out and measure it not. For it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months." And we've covered several aspects of that. Although I haven't dealt with the 42 months part, and we will get into that, but not this week. Verse 3, "And I will give power unto my two witnesses." God's going to give them power, the two witnesses. So think about that, all right? I will give power to my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloths. There are clues here. Maybe not so much as to the exact identity of these two people, these two individuals, but of the nature of them, and why are there two? Why do they have power? Why do they prophesy? All of those things are plainly revealed for us here, in both the Old and the New Testament. Get it? You'll see it in a little bit. All right? 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. That is a reference to something in the Old Testament. We're going to examine it a little bit later on. But let's look at the idea of just the concept of two witnesses. This is actually seen in many places of the Scripture. In fact, God really doesn't allow anything of a judgmental nature to be done without there being two witnesses. And this is the concept we're going to see from the Bible. And in case you haven't figured it out, the ultimate form of these two witnesses is the written record of the Word of God. The first witness, the Old Testament. The second witness, the New Testament. Anybody who would say that they witness against one another is not being honest. They're not being biblical. Jesus talked about the Old Testament. He said, "They testify of me." They're telling you about me. The New Testament, the spirit of prophecy, is the testimony of Jesus Christ, is the spirit of prophecy. And so the New Testament testifies of Christ. The Old Testament witnesses and testifies of Christ. It witnesses for people, but it also witnesses against a group of people. And that's the concept that we're going to find from the Word of God. First place, we go to Numbers chapter 35, verse 30. The law, this was the law that said, "Whoso killeth any person," the murderer, think about who the murderer is. He was a murderer from the beginning. Cain was a murderer. The devil is a murderer. He was a murderer from the beginning. So think of the spiritual nature of this. "Whoso killeth any person, the murderer shall be put to death by the mouth of witnesses," plural. But one witness, look at this. "One witness shall not testify against any person to cause him to die." Look at this. Think about this. Where in the Bible is the devil, the murderer, cast into the lake of fire. It's not at the end of the Old Testament. It's at the end of the New Testament. Why? Because God doesn't break His law. He doesn't break His word. If He said there has to be witnesses, plural, against the murderer before he can be judged, he can't kill Satan, Lucifer, at the end of the Old Testament. Can't do it. So anybody right now who says, amillennialism, says, we believe Satan is already bound into the lake of fire. Uh-uh. Hadn't happened yet. Okay? They say that that's been going on since Christ came at Calvary. That was at the close of the old witness, the first witness. God requires two or more. And so this is so neat. The murderer cannot be judged until the second witness shows up. Isn't it neat? Just boing! There it is, right there. And by the way, I just now thought of that. Okay? I don't have it in my notes anywhere. It's just the logical conclusion that is made when you read the scripture and you believe every word of it. Deuteronomy chapter 4:26. God says, I like this. You're like this one too. I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day. That's two witnesses. Heaven and earth. See, God, He can't just call heaven against us. Watch this now. He can't just call earth against people. Now, I want to give you something. I want to help you. Okay? We're humans. We have religious ideas, and we love to judge. We love it. We take everybody. See, it makes us feel good about ourselves. See, if you can judge somebody that you don't like because of what they're doing, then it makes you, well, I'm not doing that. So we feel better about ourselves. Problem is, we do that over there. And so number one, we shouldn't do that. But number two, let me give you another one. I have people writing us, calling here, saying, Pastor, there are people telling me that if I don't speak in tongues, I'm not saved. They're telling me I'm going to hell if I don't speak in tongues. You know what that is? That is an earthly witness against you. But God cannot condemn you on that basis alone. He can't do it. He must have the witness of heaven against you in order to judge you. Now, if man says you must perform tongues, Hebrew roots people say you must perform some of the law. It's ridiculous. You must perform these things. That is an earthly witness against you. But if the heavenly witness contradicts the earthly witness, then you're not condemned. God calls both heaven and earth to witness against people. And so now if I say, and I have said this repeatedly, person living in adultery and fornication all their life, well, I'm telling you, and the Word of God is telling you, that adulterers don't go to heaven. Someone who lives in sodomy all their life, unrepented, I'm witnessing of this, and heaven is testifying through the Bible that such cannot inherit the kingdom of God. God still always has to keep to His Word. There must be two witnesses. So He said, I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day, that ye shall soon utterly perish from off the land, whereunto ye go over Jordan to possess it. Ye shall not prolong your days upon it, but shall be utterly destroyed. So God cannot judge Israel and His people until the two witnesses come, heaven and earth, to testify against them. Now God can judge. And I had was going through these notes. I put that up there and I'm going, I wonder what that heaven and earth witness is. I wonder what that is. God, what is that? And as I kept studying, I got the answer. And this is all, listen to this. This is why this verse is gone. out of all the translations of the Bible except the King James, 1 John 5, 7 and 8. You're going to like this. 1 John 5, 7. For there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth. The Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. You know what you have? You have the Godhood in heaven, the Godhead in heaven, three and yet one. That's one witness. The Spirit, the water, and the blood on the earth, the three, and yet they agree in one. Now you have two witnesses, heaven and an earth, saying the exact same thing, bearing witness. Now, this is so cool. Bearing witness against this earth and all of its unrighteousness. And when you take one of those witnesses out, that means God cannot judge the earth. That blows my mind away. That is just, so again, 1 John 5, 7, that's the first thing you do when you grab a Bible and say, well, I wonder if this is a good Bible. Turn 1 John 5, 7. And if they took one of the witnesses out, it's not the Bible. And let me just help you out. King James Bible. That's it. New King James, they put it in there, but they put all the notes in there saying, we don't like this one. We don't like 1 John 5, 7. We want it out. But we have to stick with the King James. So anyway, King James Bible. And there are others, vernacular translations around the world that follow that. But I'm telling you, that's it right there. God said, I'm going to call heaven and earth to witness against you this day. And here it is in John chapter 5, heaven and earth acting as two witnesses against mankind. And the devil and all the Bible publishing companies and all the scholars are eliminating that one. It's just like the mafia. Mafia, they run all these little things and they make money, and every now and then they got to kill somebody. So the feds always trying to catch the mafia at what they're doing. They're trying to get the kingpin. They're trying to get the guy on top. But boy, I mean, he is Teflon Don, man. I mean, he just, nothing sticks to him. So they finally get a guy that they're going to put in a witness protection program, and he's going to spill the beans on all the people that Teflon Don told him to kill. And the day before the trial, where he's going to take the stand, they find him laying in a ditch somewhere with a bullet in the back of his head. You know what they did? They got rid of the corroborating witness. See, the government has circumstantial evidence. But now they have a second witness. See, it even applies in earthly courtrooms. They got rid of the corroborating evidence, the witness. He can't testify anymore. So Teflon Don walks. You see how it works? I love it. Let's move on. Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 5. Then shalt thou bring forth that man or that woman which have committed that wicked thing unto thy gates, even that man or that woman, and shalt stone them with stones till they die. This judgment. Christ, watch this now. Oh, I like this. Christ is the stone. In Daniel chapter 2, he's the stone cut without hands, and he is stoning the toes, iron mixed with clay. Think about it. He's stoning that, the ten, the commandments. Stones till they die. Verse 6, at the mouth of two witnesses or three witnesses shall he that is worthy of death be put to death. But at the mouth of one witness, he shall not be put to death. The hands of the witnesses shall be first upon him to put him to death, and afterwards the hands of all the people, so shalt thou shalt put away evil from among you. In other words, and what did Jesus say? He who is without sin among you, let him first cast the first stone. And so here is Christ, and he is the stone, and he is one of the witnesses. By the way, he's both of them. Christ actually gets to be both witnesses. I'll show you that. But anyway, So Christ must first, and then all the people join with him. This is why Christ doesn't come alone in Revelation 19. He comes, and then he has 10,000s, the law, 10,000s of his saints with him. First Christ, then us. He cannot enact his judgment upon the earth without leaving two witnesses. That's what these guys are doing in Revelation 11. God is fulfilling his word because God can't leave anything out. He cannot leave anything out. He cannot leave it undone. Or the devil in court will say, objection, objection, you have not fulfilled the requirements of the law. Therefore, I win the case. And the case is the devil wants God's throne. God's not going to let him have it. But the devil is on trial, and he's not going to get away with it because God is going to send two witnesses. First to the beast, to the false prophet, to the peoples of the earth. He is going to testify. These two witnesses are going to testify against this world. Because God said there has to be two witnesses before the stones can come down. I love that. Oh, I'm loving the Word of God today. Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 15. One witness shall not rise up against a man for an iniquity or for any sin. And any sin that he sinneth at the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses, shall the matter be established. Do you know that one of the witnesses that God designed to be against us in our iniquities was our own conscience? Our conscience bears witness against us. This is why, and I've explained this before, this is why when people lie, their body gives signals. It tells that they're lying. Why? Because your conscience is actually witness against you. And you see it over and over. When you watch these courtroom shows and a judge asks someone a point blank question and they have to invent a lie, they'll always look down to the left because the right side of their brain has to draw a picture of what it is they want to tell everybody because it's not the truth. It's very, very simple. That's their conscience bearing witness against them. But the idea is that in Revelation chapter 11, God means what he says. He cannot judge the earth. It's not possible for God to judge the earth until the two witnesses have established their crimes. That's very simple. People are saying, well, I think it's not. You said it's Enoch and Elijah? Well, you're a heretic. I say it's Moses and Elijah. And then I'm hearing from somebody, there's people out, I don't know, somewhere claiming that they're the two witnesses. Everybody's worried about their identity. No one's paying attention to why they're there. Why are they there? Because God cannot judge until the two witnesses. And he's going to give them power. By the way, this book, Two Witnesses, it's loaded with power. I mean, it's got all of it in there, all right? Anyway, that was Deuteronomy 17. Deuteronomy 19, verse 15. Here it is. It says it again. One witness shall not rise. I think I already read this. One witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity or for any sin, and any sin that he sinneth at the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses, shall the matter be established. Two or three. There is an allowance there. Let me go ahead and let's go to... go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. The Bible's on the law concerning tongues, and this is a law because God can't break it, neither should we. He gives the idea of how tongues should be done in the church. And so he says in verse 27, if any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most three, and that by course, and let one interpret. So even in the issue of tongues, there must be two or three witnesses. And in this case, it was Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, and that by course, and they were in order. And so the idea is that the Word of God is the faithful witness. It is a witness, the Old Testament and the New Testament bearing witness against us. When God judges us, he's going to use the whole thing, okay? Our works, because of what the Ten Commandments were written for and the law was written for, was to show our transgressions. But the New Testament, to show whether or not we accepted the deal that the prosecutor made with us, okay? You can have all your sins erased. Just believe in the name of Jesus Christ. Believe on the Son of God, and thou shalt be saved. And so the two are going to be brought to witness against us in God's courtroom. All right? But, and as is, watch this now. I love it. As is the case where you and I do break the law. Oh, my goodness. We do it. And we do it. We do it without even thinking of it. We do it. Because we're lawbreakers. But we cannot be condemned. And this is where all the Hebrew roots people are. They just need to read the Bible and think about it. The law by itself does not have the power to condemn us because it's only one witness against us. If we have accepted God's covenant of grace and His mercy in our life, those sins are forgiven. And what was against us cannot, even though we did it, even though we did it in a courtroom, even though the guy did it, if he's only got one witness against him, they cannot render a guilty verdict. That's how God established the law. And even today, and I know there's a lot of slick lawyers who try to get around this stuff, but even the rules of law in our courtrooms today say that there must be corroboration. There must be other evidence. And so what has happened in our courtrooms today is that even though you have eyewitness testimony, well, somehow, some way, and they've gotten pretty good at it, somehow, some way, when you go to the scene of a crime, you're leaving your DNA there somehow, some way. And if they're meticulous enough, they'll find it. That's the second witness against you. Now you're nailed. Now you're going to go to prison. You're going to, or whatever, lethal injection or whatever. But the thing is, if the guy says, "Well, I think I saw him do it," a good defense attorney will run this guy out. "What'd you have for breakfast yesterday?" "I don't remember." "What'd you type on Facebook yesterday?" "I don't know, it was something." So they're going to run this guy down. But anyway, here's my point. Even though you have sinned and you are guilty of breaking the law, one witness against you is insufficient to condemn you. So now, because it takes two witnesses or three, the two witnesses would be the two testaments of the Bible and your conscience. Now it takes two witnesses or three. And here's the neat thing. When you get your sins forgiven, God saves you. He clears your conscience too. Now your conscience can't witness against you. Now we're still only left with one witness. But if you reject God's covenant of grace, you're going to have two or three witnesses against you. The Old Testament, the New Testament, and your conscience is against you. See how this works? This Bible is so beautiful in its language, in its structure, in its legalities. It's a legally binding book. It's a law book. And you can't just rewrite it on a whim. And those that are rewriting it right now, there's a spirit behind that to keep those spirits from being condemned. That's what it is. Anyway, Jeremiah chapter 32. I think another aspect of these two witnesses has to do with the reclamation of the land of Israel. Jeremiah chapter 32, 777th chapter of the Bible. I think this is significant. We have the story of Jeremiah buying, that God told him to buy the property of Hanamel, his cousin, his uncle's son, his cousin, his first cousin, because Jeremiah has a right to redeem it. So he purchases the land from Hanamel, his uncle's son. He has a right to redeem it, and there's a process that they went through to make sure that there was a deed. It was a book written of this land, and what God was promising was is that houses and lands and vineyards are going to be owned again in this land by you people. It was a covenant that God was making, and a symbol and a type showing that the land of Israel was going to go back to the Israelites. And I think that is absolutely part of this, and the ministry and the duty of the two witnesses is showing we have the deeds. We have the evidence. We're two witnesses. We have the evidence. This is their land. You can't have it. Okay? Jeremiah 32, verse 9. "And I bought the field of Hanamel, mine uncle's son, that was in Anathoth, and weighed him the money, even 17 shekels of silver." By the way, there were 17 languages spoken at Pentecost. And they connect here. Okay? Genesis 17 is where Abram got his new name, and Sarai got her new name. That's another number. Anyway, and I subscribed the evidence and sealed it and took two witnesses, even today, on official legal documents. I sign marriage contracts all the time, marriage license. And you must have, and I never sign them alone. I never have. When I get ready to sign a marriage contract, a marriage license, send it into the state. That's a legally binding document. I have two people standing around me watching me sign my name to that. That's what they're supposed to do. And then they affix their signature, their sign, S-I-G-N, signature and sign, same thing. They affix their sign underneath mine saying, we watched with our eyes him sign this document. We watched him officiate this ceremony. We declare we are... Here's another one. God, I love you. Two witnesses to the marriage. Old and new. I love that. Okay? And we're just seeing these things all around us. So I signed the document. These two people, they saw me bless the marriage, bring the two together. And now they saw me sign my name, put my sign on there, my seal. And now these two people are in covenant with one another. And the state says, we're going to honor this. In fact, we're going to honor this so much, we're going to raise their tax bracket. Anyway, two witnesses. Jeremiah had two witnesses watching him write out the title deeds, weigh the money in the balances. Everything's legal. And the two witnesses watched it done. Weighed them the money in the balances. And I took the evidence of the... By the way, a balance is a witness. A balance is a witness. You have one witness, which is, let's say it's 1 gram. Well, it's down here. Those two witnesses have to be equal. It's also a mathematical computation. And so 1 gram here, and whatever you put on here has to equal 1 gram. Now they're saying the same thing. Isn't that's just so... I love it. Weighed him the money in the balances. So I took the evidence of the purchase, both that which was sealed, according to the law and custom, that which was open. There's two documents. One of them... like the book of Daniel, 27th book of the New Testament, or the Old Testament, seal up the words, O Daniel. Okay? Now you find that at the end of the book of Daniel. Revelation, 27th book of the New Testament, seal not the words of this prophecy. This is the title deed. This is the book of the title deed of the land that belongs to Israel. And these two witnesses are going around, and they're going to tell everybody, get off that land. It's not yours. That's what you're telling everybody. Man, I love the Word of God. Matthew 18, verse 15. More if thy brother shall trespass against thee. Go and tell him. See, this is how we're supposed to operate in the church, too. Watch this. Now, see, it's a universal law. God doesn't break it. It goes from old to new. They don't contradict one another. God said, now, we're in the New Testament. We don't do anything if anybody does anything wrong. We're in the New Testament. We're under grace. What's in the New Testament matches the old. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more. One or two more. So you go and one goes. That's two witnesses. You can bring in a third guy if you want. There are three that bear record in heaven, three that bear record in the earth. But anyway, one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. You know what you're doing? You got a guy in your church that's, he's in adultery. And you know about it. And you go to him and say, look, Jim, I love you. But you got to stop this. It's not right. It's destroying your testimony. You're bringing this into our church. I mean, I love you, and I want you to repent. I want you to be saved. I want you to know that God will forgive you. God will wipe it all away. God will fix your marriage. I mean, God will just, he'll give you what you've been looking for. But if he won't repent, And you take another guy, a third guy, witnesses, the guys that actually know, and say, look, we're coming to you again. It's not just my word against yours. These guys know what you've been doing. And you need to repent. He's going to have to be nailed. If he'll repent then, it's over. It's over and done with. But if he doesn't, then you take him to the church. And he said, and if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen and a publican. Heathen man and a publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, people have been asking about that. And the Roman Catholic Church says, no, that's the authority of the priesthood. Priests have the right to forgive sins because of this. Well, you look at this in the context now of what we're seeing here. The context of the story that Jesus told. Here you have a guy that's a sinner. And you went to your friend to try to restore such a one the way Paul said. And he doesn't want it. He says, you're making that up. I've never done that. That's not me. Okay. So you go back and you get some witnesses. Guys at work that he bragged to about it. Guys at the bar that he was, with, or the clerk at the hotel. You bring these guys with you. And they say, look, we saw you. We know. Okay, we know. And if he doesn't repent then you take it to the church. And the church has a trial. And if the church says, this guy is a sinner, he's a reprobate sinner, he will not repent, we cast him out of our presence as a heathen and a publican. And Jesus said, whatsoever you have bound on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever ye loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And so if the guy in the process of either the first witnesses, the two other witnesses, or the church, he can even repent at the church. And if he repents at the church, he is now free, not only in the church's eyes, but God's eyes. It's not just the clergy. He didn't say anything about take the minister and the bishops. He didn't say anything. He said take the guys to witness against him. This is what this means. But he said if he repents, then he's free, and I'm done. I've freed him. Never hold this sin against him ever again. It's done. But if he won't repent, you bind him and you cast him out, I'll do the same. This is what God said. I'll do the same. Because I've established this authority in the church. It's not, again, it's not in the clergy. It's not in the men with the robes who decide. That's bogus. It's in the process that Christ himself laid out for us. And so then he keeps on. Let me read verse 18 again. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever ye loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say unto you that if two, I like this part of it too, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, two witnesses, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. This is why, wow. This is why in Revelation 11, these guys have so much power. God gave them power. They can make it rain. They can make it stop rain. Fire comes out of them. Why? Because they're two agreed witnesses. And he said, if two of you shall agree on as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. So you see a scenario in the three and a half years, the two witnesses are there. And they come upon some old sinners, and they're going, I hate you two witnesses. They look at one another. You want to breathe fire? Sure, let's breathe fire. They agreed, and God said, it's done. Wow. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. You know what? And quit letting all these people condemn you because you can't find a local Bible-believing church to go to. And they're saying, well, you're not really saved because you're not going to our church. You're not. I don't want you to go to their church. A bunch of lying scoundrels over there. I don't want you going over there. Well, I don't know if I'm right with God. Get your wife and your kids together, or your husband, and meet together. Two or three are gathered together in my name. And I would even say that, you know, we all gathered here in person, but many of you gather together in spirit with us. I would say that that's part of our assemblage, because you're all hearing the same thing from the Word of God. And God will bless you. And God has. Well, I love this. I love this Bible. Men come up with all kinds of stupid stuff, nail everybody with, and I just love the Bible. You know, I got a lot more here, and I think I'm just going to part one and part two this. All right, it's been good study with you today. I mean, this actually, just teaching it has blessed me more than studying it, because I guarantee you, God has given me a lot more in teaching this than He did. I was kind of worried. I don't know if this is going to be any good or not. God just found a way. He found a way. His word is just it's crystal clear if you'll just study it and listen to it, all right? Man, I love you. I love you. God loves you. That's two right there. And I always tell people say, I don't know if God will forgive me anymore. I'll say, look, I don't even know you, and I love you, and I'll forgive you. And I'm evil. Why wouldn't God do it? Anyway, I love you. It's good to be back. It's good to be back. Keep me in your prayers. You know, my health is... it's my light affliction. Might say it's a thorn. And the devil is, I can see clearly how he's trying to weaken me in my health. But my body belongs to God. My life belongs to God. And my ministry belongs to God. And he'll stop it when he wants to. Or he'll keep it going, however he wants to. And I may be like a skeleton zombie sitting here, but God will keep working, all right? So anyway, thank you for your prayers. Keep them up. Keep praying for us, and that God would give us boldness and power to keep preaching this book. It's so right. You've seen just a portion of it today. This book is so right. Keep it. All right? Keep it. God bless you. I love you. We will see you the next time. Bye-bye.